bow our heads to pray. Oh, Father in heaven, what a singular privilege once again it is to come to stand in your presence with my brethren and be given this awesome privilege, this great honor to declare the word, to bring forth a word of refreshing, a word of life. I want to thank you for the great privilege of standing at this particular pulpit that has been used to minister the word, the undiluted, unfettered word of God for so many years. And it's a privilege I will never take for granted. I thank you so much for counting me worthy of this. As I come to share your word again today, we recognize our limitations as human beings, the limitations of the human mind, Lord, both to deliver as well as to receive this word as we ought to. So we come to plead for mercy. In particular, I come stripping myself of every confidence that I might have in myself, my preparation alone, my confidence, Lord, is in a fresh release of your mercy upon me to enable me to be, Lord, a faithful steward of this word that I speak, O Lord God. Your mercy will cause me to speak as an oracle of God. I beseech you to make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer. And the words I speak will not be mine, but they will be spirit and life. That there will be a free flow of your life, of your word from you through me and unto the people, so that wherever this word goes in all the earth, your power back it up to cause men to be doers of that which they hear and not hearers only, so that they will be blessed by this word in the name of Jesus. I also ask you, help me to be concise, so I will be precise, so I will not say things unnecessary. So bring it forth from out of the treasure of your word tonight, things both old and new, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom in the name of Jesus. I further ask, as I speak, Lord, your presence and your power go forth to fill the air, breaking every yoke, meeting every need, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of your word, our wills to be more humble and submitted to your will, and our emotions to be controlled even further and even more by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, especially love, in the name of Jesus. I also ask for mercy to be faithful to this word. I duck under the anointings of my fathers, their mantles I take upon me now by faith. And I ask for mercy to be faithful steward as I declare this word. It will go forth as a river of life, bringing refreshing to all that hear it, myself included, but in particular and especially to them. So as they drink of this vine they have planted, they will be tremendously satisfied with the travails of their souls in me. I thank you. Because you are not a man to lie. You will not lie to David. You will do for us exceeding abundantly of all we can imagine. We pray, ask, and receive in the matchless, exalted name of Jesus. And the people say, amen. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God again for this wonderful privilege to bring the word tonight. I bring a word tonight, which is a word again, it's a word of warning. Now, we were saying on Sunday, I believe it was, that the Bible says, Jesus Christ, whom we teach, whom we warn, who we preach, teaching every man, warning every man, so that we present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. The essence of warning is not to make you afraid, but to cause a bit of introspection. Amen? Not to condemn, but to give understanding concerning the times we're in and what we ought to do. And in particular, to cause us, like I said, to introspect and to examine ourselves. The Bible says, examine yourselves and see whether you be in the faith or not. So this is such a message. And it's also a message of exhortation. The Bible says we should exhort each other much the more so as we see the day approaching. And because the day is not just approaching, it has actually come to be. How many people saw the blood moon? Amen? Well, I'm putting my hand up, but I didn't see it. Sorry. I was fast asleep. Some of you waited up 3 a.m. I salute you. I was sleeping. Forgive me. Amen? But I did see a lot of pictures. In fact, the whole of the press worldwide. It's amazing. The whole press worldwide. I was looking online. Every single news online, news magazine or whatever online has many pictures of that blood. It's like the whole world was just waiting. Hello, they are waiting. Except they don't know what they're waiting for. We know what we're waiting for. It was so wonderful. And so this, the day has come. Amen. And so this is a message which came to me. Pastor's always sending us the pastor's articles and things that he wants us to, you know, read or if he feels that will be of interest to us. And one such came this week, which I read, and it was like, wow, you know, this is so true. He said that it was written by in one of our Nigerian papers by somebody who, well, once in a while he gets it, once in a while he misses. But this one was really on key. And as I began to read it, you know, it's so interesting how God, you know, brings messages sometimes. One of the scriptures he used there just leapt up at me. I was like, wow. You know, and from there on, you know, right from my room there at home, God just started building up this message. So I'm bringing this message as a result of that particular article which Pastor sent to us concerning the present state of the church, particularly the Church of God in Nigeria. I don't want to name the article, but, you know, as we go on, if you've read it, you probably will know what it's talking about. So we await the sudden manifestation of Christ in his church in glory, and that's why this message has come. We're going to start at a very, very familiar passage of scripture. Well, it should be familiar. Give me Matthew chapter 7. Before we read, Matthew chapter 7, before we read, this was a sermon, that part of a sermon that the Lord Jesus Christ preached when he started out in his ministry. Amen. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. Amen. So it was like the Lord Jesus was laying down the parameters of his ministry and what he was there to do and what he was there to accomplish. And he brought a word of warning to the nation of Israel in its entirety in this message. We're going to start with Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Notice, this is very important because it has prophetic significance for us in this time. Notice this particular message, the Sermon on the Mount, was not spoken to the heathen. Was spoken to the nation that God had chosen to put his name on. So he's not talking to the heathen. He's not talking to somebody who doesn't know God. He's talking to people who know or should know God. And he says these words, which, like I said, also reverberates down from that Sermon on the Mount to us here in this day. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Start from there. Hello, somebody. We're going to read it together. Say hello, somebody. Because he speaks to us too. He was talking to Israel at that time. You know, God says, you know, he got on and he got on this mountain. He opened his mouth and he taught them. So this is after all the Beatitudes, he now begins to get really serious. And look what he says. Let's read it together. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Why many? Let's stop a minute. Why many? Well, it's simple. Well, because it's easy to go in. Hello? Very easy. It's easy on the flesh. There's no commitment. You don't have to make too many commitments. If at all you make commitments. It's easy on the flesh. There's no particular commitment. Nobody's bothering you. Nobody's coming to ask you why didn't you come to church. All you do is pay your tithe and do what you want. And you're so well. Amen? Very quick result. Very visible results quickly. Sharp, sharp. Instanta. Let's say kese. That's the prayer. That's what he's talking about here. Amen? So you get results. Not much required. The pastor's not beating you on the head. Once you're paying your tithe and you're coming to church and sowing very well, he's not wondering whether you're praying or... So everybody goes this way. Easy. It says wide, broad. But the Bible says it leads to destruction. And many, the Bible says, the majority are going there that way. Now, next verse. Many. You will not be among those many in Jesus' name. Next one says, now it says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life and few. That's why it's only a little flock. Few. There be that find it. Give me this in the Amplified. That's what it says. That's what it says. This is going to be the chief part of the message. It says, but the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure. A wine press falls heavy, bringing forth only the best of the wine. Pressure. You know that's what Gethsemane means? As Pastor told us, they said the pressing of the seed. Pressing of the seed. That's why they don't go there. They're few. Who wants to be pressed? Who wants to be compressed? Who wants to be restricted? It's not a normal natural desire. And the way is straightened and compressed, that leads away to life, and few are those who find it. In other words, first of all, it's not an obvious way. There's not broad, so that you cannot stumble upon it. You have to be looking for it. You know, if something is broad, you go, but this one is not. It is constricted. It is compressed. It doesn't allow too much leeway to do your own thing. And when you're in it, you're under strict, strict law. Mashallah. Thank you. That's the problem. No, it's not popular, as a few people, because it involves sacrifice, you see. It involves humility. It involves laying down your life. It involves pressure, compression. So this is it. But like I said, the paradox in this message is that the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching to the nation of Israel, the only nation on the earth at that time that had the knowledge of how to get life. It's a paradox. So what Jesus is saying here is that this way of life, only a few of you are going this way. Even though God had given them a means to get life. How do we know this? Very simple. Very, very interesting. I mean, you see, we're going to be using some of the familiar verses. You probably heard them so well and over again, but I believe that God is just repeating them, so that we can get what he's trying to tell us in this season. How do we know they knew how to get life? Right all the way from Deuteronomy. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 30. when Lord showed me this, he said, Lord, have mercy. Give me Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 49. Like I said, just like this nation, natural Israel, was the only nation that knew how to get life, so also spiritual Israel in the earth today, of all the quote-unquote, I won't call us a religion, we are not doing religion, but I mean, of all the faiths, let me put it that way, only one faith knows how to get eternal life. That is the one that has a faith in Christ Jesus. And yet the same thing applies. Isn't there a problem? There's definitely a problem. Look what it says. Thank you. But the word is nigh, is not even nigh, it's very nigh. I didn't see that. I just read that. I've always said the word is nigh. He said it's very nigh. In other words, you and the word are not separate. Let me find that. I want to read it from my book. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. It says, verse 14 says, but the word is very nigh unto thee. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Now, look at the next verse, verse 5. It says, see. In other words, hey, look what I've done. See what I've told you. Look what I have done for you. See. Revelation. I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. How? By showing you that by the word in thy heart, in thy mouth, in thy heart, and that you do it, you can get life. But if you do not use the word in your mouth, in your heart, and you don't do it, you automatically select for death and evil. See, he says, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. How? In that I command thee this day to do what? Come on, guys. To do what? To what? Love the Lord thy God. And this is the love of God, that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. To walk in his ways. To keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgment, that thou mayest live. Hello, are they dead? The people was talking about, they're dead. They were dead. They were alive. They were living human beings. But God said, hey, you don't have life. You don't have life. Same thing in the church today. Same thing in church. The church has life, but they're dead. There's life in the church. If you're born again, you have life. But you're not believing. Life there, but it's dormant. It's not active. I'm getting ahead of myself. But he said, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord shall bless you in the land whithersoever thou goest to possess. And then, let me see, it says, verse 19, give me verse 19 again. He says, if, what is it? Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life. He is stressing that thing, life and death. Life. Death is just the opposite of life, but life. Which means that as far as God was concerned, all those people he was talking about were dead. Now we understand by revelation that they were dead spiritually. All right? But you know, they were living, but they were dead. And he will say, look, for you to live the way I want you to live, the way you are, I propose that you should live, you need to do my commandments, put them in your mouth, in your heart, and you need to do them and obey me and love me. And then, because you do that, the life that I have will now come upon you. And you will live, you will multiply. And he says, not only for you, said verse 20, says, thou mayest love the Lord thy God, obey his voice, thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, not the life you're living now. And all this just percolates down through those ages up to us today. He is your life. He is my life. The life that I live now, I live not. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and died for me and gave himself for me. That's my life. I am crucified with him. But nevertheless, I live because I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's what it should be. But believe you, a vast majority of the church is not doing that. Or doing it to the degree that we ought to. Hence this message. So that thou mayest dwell in the creature who is thy life, and the length of thy days thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. In other words, if you don't do this, you will not dwell in the land. And guess what? They didn't. They didn't. They backslid and God kicked them all out. First of all, he kicked out, pardon? Yeah, Babylon. Assyria first. It took the 12 northern tribes. Then Babylon came for the two tribes remaining, Judah and Benjamin. So, this is what the Lord says. He's told them by setting this issue of using your mouth, the word in your mouth, the word in the heart, and then doing it, that's how you're supposed to receive life. Amen? And repeats it. Love the Lord, you know. These one of the things I said. The point is this. When the Lord Jesus was preaching that, he was sending out a warning to Israel. That unless you do this, you're going to move from the pathway that God has set before you. That's the path of life. Now, let's understand, like I said, they were dead because they couldn't get born again. But we all understand what was going on was that God was ministering life to them by his mercy from the outside. That's how all the prophets in the Old Testament, all the patriarchs, that's how they related to God. And it was important that they, you know, have that, because they wouldn't have been able to do all the great things that happened in the Old Testament. None of those guys were born again. That's why they couldn't go to heaven. That's why God had to create a special place in Abraham's bosom to keep them until Jesus the Lord came, who now brought grace and truth, who now brought the ability through his death and passion to now have life in the human spirit. So when he's talking about life, he's talking about mercy of God, life from the outside that will come upon them like a cloak and help them to do everything they need to do. But the essence is this. They had Moses' law. They had Moses' law, but they had substituted the traditions, that Moses' law for traditions and the commandments of God. They had taken away the commandments. They had put in their place traditions and things that they thought would please God. Amen. Hello, somebody. Something that was not even in the Bible, in many cases. Give me Matthew 15:1. Matthew 15. Jesus spoke about this. Then came to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were Jerusalem, saying, next verse. Why do thy disciples transgress? See, they were more focused on tradition. He didn't say they transgressed the word. He said transgress the tradition of the elders. For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. As if that is the most important thing in Jerusalem at that time. And we have the equivalent today too. Hello? And wear your scarf. Or your tongue. This my shukutu is too big. 16. Really? I remember. 16, you have to adjust it. You know, this your shukutu is of the devil. It's too big. Ah, in those days, you wore bell bottom. this one is of the world. You know? Elders, tradition of them, for they washed from their hands and eat bread. Next verse. But he answered and said, why do ye also, that father, transgress the commandment? He's not talking about the tradition. He said, the commandment of God by your tradition. That's what's going on today too. God's commandments have been put aside. Now you have tradition. Now you have things that you must do before you are holy. Huh. Anyway, I'm not going to get it. Okay, next verse. Next verse. Thank you. For God commanded, saying, now this is now selected one particular instance. God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. He that curses father and mother, let him die for death. That's what the Bible says. That's what the word of God says. But they say, next verse. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it's a gift. In other words, I'm going to take this gift to the temple. And I knew. Instead of giving it to his father and mother, he said, look, I'm going to take a gift to the temple. You know, we will sort you out later. He said, it's okay. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the word of God says. It says, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatever thou mightest have profited by me. Next verse. And honor not his father or his mother, which is what God wanted. So they put aside the honor of parents in the Bible, in the Ten Commandments for God's sake. So that they could do money to... Oh, mercy Lord. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. These guys had forsaken the weightier matters of law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. And they were tithing, coming. Hello, isn't that familiar? They were tithing, coming, and you see, can you imagine? Just seed. Wanting by great faith, judgment, mercy. And all they were doing was tithing. Can you see money again? See, it's a parallel from there drawn all the way down. You know why? Because the same devil that's doing it. Just a different flavor, but the plan is the same. Amen? So, here the Lord was now sending... just flashed my mind again. Papa Ralph, Papa Kelly. Man-centered, needs-oriented, entertainment-based gospel. I thought I was seeing things, but I'm not. Hello, somebody. Okay, everybody's answering. So the Lord was in effect sending out a warning to the nation of Israel, supposing the people of God, supposedly the only nation who can receive life, but in reality, it was a nation that was dead or dying. They had a name, like Pastor D was saying, or was it a prof? They have a name that they live at, but they are functionally dead. Give me that, Revelation chapter 3. Yeah, Revelation chapter 3, give me verse 1. Revelation 3:1, quickly. I'm just bound through that. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things said he that had the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works. Yes, you've got works. That thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. I tell you folks, there are many, many churches. Thank God for this one. But there are many churches that live in a name, but functionally, as far as God is concerned, they are dead. It's not that they're not born again. No. It's just as far as God is concerned, as far as the purposes and plan of God on the earth is concerned, they are dead. They don't exist. Next verse. Give me verse 2. I think verse 3 is where we're going. Verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. So there was still some little things, some things that were still there. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Next verse. Verse 3. It says, remember, this is it. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard. In other words, go back to the beginning. That's what Jesus was telling them there. Go back to the beginning. Learn how God said you should receive life by putting the word in your mouth, in your heart, and doing it. Obey my commandments. Love me. Go back. How did you receive it? Say, what have you heard before? Hold fast and repent, because if you do not, I will call on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour. Thou shalt not know of what hour. Hello? Thou shalt not know of what hour I will come upon thee. Being fulfilled as we speak. The whole church is going their merry way. Things continue as they were before. Where's the promise of his coming? Not knowing that God is here at the very doorstep. He's in his church. This is what the Lord was saying. And it's one of the sad things that what God came to give them was that life. He says, I am come. He's here coming for to, he came to give them life and give them life abundantly. So they missed the boat completely. And the reason they missed the boat was because they were not walking in the precepts of the Lord with regards to putting the word in their mouth and their heart and receiving life through fellowship with the word. Amen. All their religious leaders at this time had largely substituted the true worship and obedience to the commandment of God, the keeping the word in the mouth, in the heart, and doing it, all substituted for tithing, coming, and all these other things. All the things that really don't matter. Bulls and goats. Divers washes, like Paul says. That's what they were doing. That's what they felt was giving them credence in God's eyes. And then he who is the way and who is the life indeed came, and they didn't even recognize him. Can you imagine? Hello, somebody. We're talking about Israel. We're talking about now, spiritual Israel. Same difference. The same thing. It's amazing how history repeats itself. Mercy, Lord. They didn't recognize him. They didn't even acknowledge him either. He had to tell and say, look, so you think you know the word, eh? Okay, go and look at the word. Say, search ye the scriptures. Go and look in them. Shepherd, you think you have eternal life in there? You think that's what gives you the life? Say, go, they are they, the very scriptures that you think you know, and I think you think you are the very ones that testify of me, and you're not going to come to me to get eternal life? You're going to be in big trouble. Hello? Same thing in the church today. As I'm speaking concerning Israel, it's like, you know, the whole thing is just taking place in the world. Amen? In the church also. Not understanding the whole purpose of the law that God gave them was to bring them to Christ. So when Christ came, they rejected. Oh, hell, have mercy, Lord. They rejected Christ and clave to the law. But Christ was the fulfillment of the law. The law was the all was supposed to lead them to Jesus Christ. So when Christ came, the law had to be done away with. Was a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. But when Christ came, because they were not in focus, they were not in sync, but thank God, because God always will never leave himself without a witness. They were, I don't know about others, I'm sure there must be others, because it says that there were others who were looking for the consolation of Israel too. But at least two people we can record in the Bible when Jesus came. And it wasn't even a grown Jesus. It was a Jesus as a baby, but they knew this is the man. Simeon says, now let us thy servant depart in peace. For my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord, the consolation of Israel. And Anna, why? Because they were both doing the same thing, putting the word in their mouth, in their heart, and they were doing it diligently, daily, throughout the time, preparing for the coming of the Christ. And I don't think they knew each other either. So God has his witness. Just like God has his witness in the church today. Not all of us, we're not all going the broad way that leads to destruction. God forbid. Amen? And then they saw him manifest even before he did one single miracle. Even before he told them he was the way, the truth, and the life. Why? Because they were walking in the word. They were receiving revelation. How did Simeon know this is the man? This is the child. Came by the Spirit. Why? Because he was in constant fellowship with the Spirit. Anna too would have missed it. The Holy Spirit brought her in at that moment. Sure. And it's going to be the same today. Many people waiting for the Christ in the church, those who are sighing and weeping, when Jesus Christ comes, as the Bible says, they will say, this is our God. We have waited for him. There are a lot of people like that. They're not doing anything now because they haven't seen anything. They're just waiting. They're not making any judgments. Judge nothing before the time. But they are there. God has his people all over. Amen? They have a case. 7,000 have not bowed to Baal. They will say, this is our God. We are with him. Now, so what does all this mean in our own context? Let's begin to put some flesh into this. What does this say to us today? We've been saying it all along. Well, the truth is this. We must strive to enter in at the straight gate now and walk this narrow path that leads to life. Why? Why must this be so? Well, the Lord was gracious to me as I was preparing this message, and I must confess, I mean, you know how you read scripture but it never really registers. You know, you just read it and, you know, you move on. But God, by supernaturally, brought this particular scripture to my heart. Now, of course, I read it. I marked it severally, but I never linked the two together. And then, boom, I said, Lord, thank you. I have a message. God is great. God is so great. He's a wonderful Father. Very, very faithful. Now, I was just, you know, reading. I just was doing cross. I mean, normally when I prepare my message, I do a lot of cross referencing, you know, look at different versions. And I just saw, I said, yeah, this one is there too. So I went to read it. And guess what? The Lord opened my eyes to see. Give me Luke chapter 13 in verse 23. you're gonna love this. You're going to love this. Luke 13:23. And now, this is Lord Jesus speaking. In fact, it's in red. If you have a Bible like mine, it's in red. Verse 23. And then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, he said the same words that he said at the beginning of his ministry. But this is not the beginning of his ministry. This is when he was traveling towards Jerusalem to be killed. He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in. And whoa, back up again. Let's read it again. He says, strive to enter in at the straight gate for few. Now, give me that other scripture in Matthew chapter 7. I think verse 14. Matthew 7:14. Enter the great. No, next one. 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow which leads to it, and there be few. Few that find it. Now it says, you know, it says many. It also says few. But it's the same straight gate. Are we following? The same straight gate. In one part, in the beginning of his ministry, he says, few, there be that find it. Then, in the latter part of his ministry, he quotes the same thing, says exactly the same thing, but then he says, many will want to enter. What's going on? What is going on? Is there a contradiction? Go back to that other one, Luke. Yeah. Many, I say, will seek to enter, which shall not be able. I'm going to read from here. And I'm going to tell you why. So what is going on here? Well, it appears there's a paradox and there's a conflict, but it's not so. Amen? Now, let's tell you why it's not so. Let's read verse 25. Because he's talking about a different time entirely. Different time in the annals of the history of Israel, or the church, if you want to put it that way. Strive to enter in the straight gate, for many, I say, you will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Verse 25, when once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not whence ye are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Serious stuff here. We got a picture. The picture is that the straight and narrow gate now becomes a place where many people desire to be in. Amen? It's no more a place where people despise. Because they've now walked the broad way and it has led them to destruction. Doesn't necessarily mean death. It could mean that. But destruction is like, you know, you lose your reward and all these other things, you know. Amen? Some of them will die and go to heaven. That's the truth. That's very true. But they have led them to a place where they have been cut off. Right, dry ground. Nothing is happening again. They have seen that. Now they now rush back. Hey! Straight and narrow gate, oh, Father, thank you. We are coming. We are coming here. And God says, just stay outside. Workers of iniquity. Now, when is this going to happen? Verse 28. I love this. There shall be weeping, gnashing of teeth. Reminds me of Revelations. Pastor, you have preached my message. When you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, Jesus is not there. Esau is not there. And all the prophets were in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. Not only that. And they shall come from the east, from the west, from the north, from the south, and they shall sit down where? In the kingdom of God. And behold, Father, have mercy. There are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. That has so many different applications. But what are we talking about here? He's talking about at the time the kingdom of God will come. He's talking about the time when the kingdom is on earth. He says at that time, many people will be looking for that straight gate to enter so that they can be in the kingdom. Where were they before? They were following the wide gate that leaded to destruction. Destruction again is not necessarily die. You would get some people will. The pastor told us some of the leaders have to be killed in this time of Jacob's trouble to create a place for the David leadership to arise. That's true. But some of them will lose all their reward. And seeing, it reminds me of that book about the horses. I can't remember. Eagle Saints Arise. New Britain. You know, we read that book. I read that book many years ago. It had a profound impact on me. You know, and it's being fulfilled to the letter. Being fulfilled. That's how you know who are prophets. Eagle Saints Arise. There was a group of horses. Some of them were running free range. They had their free, everything. And some were in that straight and narrow path. All they could do was do what their master told them. They would lead them out and lead them in. They didn't let them go. They kept them enclosed in stables. All the while the other guys were running free. They were all over the place enjoying themselves. Free as a bird! Nobody can touch you. Nobody can bring you under condemnation, y'all. But one day, famine came. And all the guys all the horses in the field on the outside were running free. They began to be hungry. And they began to lose weight. And their bones started to come out. I don't know what you call that. Malnutrition. Cachexia. Thank you. Thank you. Cachexia. Cachexia. Okay. Cachexia. Paplexia. But the bones began to come out. But the ones that were inside the master's stable, they were growing bigger, stronger. Why? They were being fed. They were under authority, under restriction, but they were being fed. And they were growing and they were shining and they were strong. And they were harnessed to the master's carriage and they were moving with dignity. Under authority, harnessed to, under control. But by goodness, there was no comparison between the two. So then I was like, bro, how'd you do it? Can we come? It's not like that. This is what this is saying. And it's happening as I speak. It's happening as I speak. And the door was shut. We're going to talk about that in a while. Because God is so good that even with all that, He still has His mercy available. Pastor was sharing that with me just before we came in. You know, but the essence is this, is that this is what's going to happen when the kingdom comes. People will see on the outside and say, what? I don't mean so much. They'll now begin to bump and, you know, charge the straight gate and want to come in. And God will say, stop right there. I don't know you. We have never had any fellowship. You are not of me. You are not of my fold. Hey. And that's a chief shepherd. And he said, I've come from the east and west and the north, from all over. Now, let me say something. These people that come from the east, the west, from the north, and from the south, they are not those who were in the kingdom, in the church before. These are the heathen. Thank you. Those Ezekiel's army, those people who have not yet, they came in fresh. It's because these other guys, they had their chance. But they blew it by going after the way that was wide and led to destruction. But these ones are coming at the heathen, that they will come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the God of Jacob. Let them be fresh troops. God has a whole army still out there. He hasn't even called in yet. He hasn't even gone to call in. And they will only come when they hear the voice of the master. They only come when the glory hits. God has reserved them fresh troops. So these guys are fooling around in the place that's wide and at least destruction. They are losing their place in the kingdom. Other people are ready to take it. Amen? This is it. So at these two passages in Matthew 7 and Luke 3, the Lord establishes the fact that the way of the straight and narrow gate is very, very unattractive to normal people. I mean, when I say God's people, generally. But when the kingdom of God is now manifest, when the glory comes, when they see the demonstrations and manifestations of power, glory, hello, when they see the tremendous wealth by the Spirit, the mind of Christ, the tremendous wealth that I've been given, they say, wow, we have missed it. Let's quickly retrace our steps. Reminds me of that parable of the virgins. They're going to see the glory. They want to party. But you know, the Bible says 2/3 shall be cut off. 2/3. And die. Then God will now take the third part. The pastor Joey was preaching the other day also from Malachi. It's amazing how those two scriptures, they just dovetail one to the other. 2/3 are going to be cut off. The Lord will come as a refiner's fire, purifier of silver. Amen. And he's going to purify himself, sons of gold and silver. And 2/3 are cut off. 1/3 will still be run through. You know, even that 1/3 is still not ready. They're still going to be purging. It's going to be purifying of those that remain when the wheat and the chaff are removed. Then they will now sift those ones too. We have a way to go, folks. Thank God. It will happen, and God will have his army, have his church without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. Holy without blemish, offering up an offering and sacrifice in righteousness. Amen? Amen? So what did Jesus say to those who are at the straight gate? He says, I knew you not. Reminds me of the virgins. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. The parable of the 10 virgins. We all know it. Go to verse 10. Matthew chapter 25, verse 10. This is beyond the story of the 10 virgins who were foolish, 10 virgins who were wise. The 5 who were wise, they had oil in their vessels, they were doing all that they had to do. The ones who were foolish were, well, I won't say they were not, but they weren't doing as they ought to. Let me just leave it like that. They were still, thank God, at least they had something. But the essence is that the bridegroom now comes, and it's time to go in. And you cannot go in except your lamp is lit and it has oil in. No oil in the lamp, you have to have it in the vessel of the lamp also. That vessel is the physical body. The lamp is the Spirit of the Lord. So you not only have to be born again, but also perfected. And then the shout goes when? At midnight. Change of a new day. And while they went to buy, okay, say, what? The bridegroom is coming, oh, Say, give us some of your oil. Say, oh boy, less is not big enough for you. It's not that I didn't love them all. But they were following purpose. Hello, somebody. It'd be foolish to forget purpose so you can be nice to somebody who didn't do what he was going to do. That's what God is telling here. Say, you just stay with purpose. If he or she is destined for purpose, he or she. But it says, God shut the door and he took only them that were ready. Not the foolish, not the wise. Which tells them that foolishness and wisdom are dynamic. Said nothing about being foolish. Said nothing about being wise. Said only those that were ready. Amen. So that's it. So at least two parts, he establishes that the way that is narrow is usually very unattractive. But when things change, when the glory change comes and it changes everything, everybody wants to get in that straight and narrow. Because that's where the goodies are. Amen. And God said, just stop like that. Now, let's go back to those who wanted to go into straight gates. He says, I know you not, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. They work iniquity, not righteousness. All these, what I call late converts to the entrance that is straight and narrow that leads to life, when they see the glory, they want a part of it. They want the honor, the wealth, and the recognition, and all these things, but they will not be. They'll be like the prodigal son. You know the prodigal son? He came back home. He took his inheritance. He went and he made a lavish fool of himself. But it came a time he came to himself. Said, ah, I have sinned. Again, he said, you know, God is so good. This is where I'm going. God is so good. So he comes to himself and he shakes himself and he stops eating the pig's food. Can you imagine? The son of God. See what foolishness. See how that's destruction. That is, now that's destruction. He lost everything. To the point that he was now the level of pigs. He was being given the food that pigs were refusing. And if you know how the Jews hate pigs, you know that's a serious problem. Outcast it. That's even pretty. The guy was gone, man. He was destroyed completely. Can you imagine somebody who's been feeding pigs now being restored back? God is good, though. God is really good. So he comes to himself and he says, I'll go to my father. I have sinned. I'm going to apologize. And then, you know, he comes back. And truly, the father takes him in. God is wonderful. But there's one problem. He does not have an inheritance. That inheritance is gone forever. In the household, one of the children, he has a robe, he has rings, but no inheritance. No inheritance. Mercy. Mercy, Lord! That's what happens when the door is shut. So he has no inheritance, and he lost everything. All right? Then, you know, it reminds also of Esau. Well, we won't even talk about it. Esau's one was even terrible. Esau was really bad. Pastor Ojay was talking about it. Esau, all he wanted was food. And he sold his birthright for food. You know, whenever I read that part of scripture, I just marvel. I said, the guy must have been stupid. Or did he think, you see, that's what I'm saying. He couldn't have thought at all. All he, by the way, since God is their belly. He was being ruled by that. You know when your stomach is empty and you. And he sold his birthright for food. God called him. God called him a profane person. And I was just praying. God said, go and find out what that word means. So I've written in profane. I asked Google, I said, Google, what is profane? And he gave me all the numbers. I read this is what Google said. Google said he's disgusting, irreverent, sacrilegious, disrespectful, disbelieving, contemptuous of God. That's what those people that go the way of destruction, why do they are contemptuous of God. Now, we don't believe you. We can do it all by ourselves. And God said, okay, there you go. So it's not like Esau, that profane person who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Says, for you know that afterwards he sought it carefully with tears. That's what these people will come and do. But God is good. God is good. I want to share with you a scripture. Pastor shared it with me just now as we were coming. I said, wow. God is good. God is really good. There are few people who will do what these guys did. Now, go to Luke chapter, I'm going to help myself, but it's good. I think it's time to introduce Luke chapter 11, verse 5. This is really good. It is really good. God is good, though. Tell your neighbor God is good. He always makes a way, even when there's no way. He always finds a way. See, because he's not willing, the Bible says, that any should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of the truth, that every single one of you, every single one of us, and all those listening should enter into the full. The inheritance is prepared for you. If you don't claim it, nobody else can claim it. Hello, somebody. It's yours. It's, the Bible says, it is reserved in heaven for you. So his wish, his desire is that you come and collect it. You grow up to the fullness and measure of stature of Christ and pick up your inheritance. It's reserved for you in heaven. And he's working assiduously looking for every way that does not contravene his word to bring you in and bring you into that inheritance. Because that's his delight. Look at this verse. This is a beautiful, beautiful. Luke chapter 11, I believe. No. Luke chapter, where is it now? I wrote it down. Luke chapter 11. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Luke chapter 11. Beautiful. And it talks about verse 5. And he said unto them, let's read together. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him when? At midnight. I say midnight when the word goes there. The bridegroom is coming. So we see the parallel. It's prophetic. At midnight, say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And now, the friend is on the inside in his bedroom. He's on the outside. He's knocking. Bah, 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 bah. Give me 3 loaves. I need food for my friend. Verse 7. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. Depart from me, thy work of iniquity. My door is now. What did he say about, said, and he, about the virgins? He said, and the door was shut. So it's a parallelism between the two prophetic scriptures. And the door is shut. And my children are with, no, those are qualified. Those that were ready. Those that have been walking this tight, narrow track for all these years. They are with me. They are sleeping. We are all in rest now. We have found rest. So I can't open the door for you. Where are you coming from? Who are you? My friend. Okay, my friend. I say, now, this is the Lord Jesus now. He says, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend. No, this is not a question of, oh mommy. He says, but because of his importunity, he will arise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. That's the goodness of God. That is the goodness of God. To God be the glory. It was Pastor Sherry just before we started. Said, God, it's true the door will be shut. But it says, by importunity. By importunity. Which means you don't let it go. You, those guys at the gate now. Yes. Oh, God is so good. You know, God can give you a hard face. But it says, he's a God that hideth himself. He will hide himself and see where you're going to come looking. Where you're going to come asking. Where you're going to come knocking. Where you're going to come seeking. He will just hide himself and see what's going to happen. Just watch you and watch you. Remember Manasseh? Thank you. That's good. He gave this guy an answer. I said, you can't come, you know. I can point, say, but for his importunity. That importunity is prayer. That importunity is staying with the principles of the tight, narrow, straight way. And not giving up until you get Now, you cannot get the full measure because the kingdom is, you don't have the full inheritance, but you can get the borrowed anointing. The crumbs from the table. The borrowed anointing. So if you, even these guys that were left outside that had walked the way of the wide place that leads to destruction, if they are importune when they come to themselves, like the prodigal son, if they are importune enough, God will open the door. That's what he's saying here. It says, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many. So fair, okay. And he gave him 3 loaves. Oh, pastor. Okay, 3 loaves. Bread is the word of God. What are those 3 loaves? The very things that Israel had set aside. The weightier matters of the law. Judgment. Mercy. Faith. The word of God concerning judgment. Revelation only concerning the judgment and justice and the Lord God that exercises righteousness, loving kindness, and judgment in the earth. Revelation of who God is, his justice, his fairness. Faith. Faith for what? Perfection. And mercy that will cause you to travail, to prevail in every circumstance over judgment. That's what 3 blows he gets. So the guy goes and eats the 3 loaves, begins to pray. Importunity. And he breaks, and God opens up for him. Again, not the full inheritance, but hey, I don't know about you, but half bread. Half bread is better than not, oh. Ah. The kingdom, ah. Okay, the jelare, ah, there you go. But you see, that's not God's best, but that's God's goodness at work. Amen? That's God's goodness. He doesn't want anyone to perish. So what are we saying? The Lord whom we seek is coming to his temple. And the overwhelming majority of the church says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many, majority shall wax cold. And is that love in particular that the devil is targeting? Why? Because love is a commandment. The fullness of a commandment is obedience to the perfecting love. Amen? Perfect love. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love is the one that makes you like him on earth as he is in heaven. So that's why that particular thing is what he tries to destroy. Amen? And Bible says, all these ones are walking in the way of disobedience, in the broad and wide way that leads to destruction. And we say it's not always death. But the truth of the matter is, some people will die. So sometimes when they do this, all they have wrought is burned up in the fire of judgment. That says we should take heed to ourselves, that we lose not what we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. That full reward is the fullness of the kingdom, the glory, and all these marvelous things that are about to come upon us. Amen? So a small few are entering into the path of gate, the straight path, the narrow gate, walking the way of life. Jesus said, I am the life and the truth, the way and the life, walking as he walked in the earth. Okay, so, but what I want to bring out here is what we just talked about. There is now at this time a window of opportunity. Hello, somebody. It's not going to be forever. There is now at this time, and this goes to everybody here, and even into the church at large out there. There's a window of opportunity that God has set for anybody who discovers by the Spirit, or who God opens their eyes, or who are sighing and, you know, mourning and, you know, feeling sad for the things that are going on. You're part of this mad rush into the wide and broad gate that leads to destruction. You know it, but you can't get out. Or you think you can't get out. God has said, the time to come out is now. Babylon says, come out of them, lest you be partake of iniquities. God has a lot of people in Babylon. A lot of people. A lot of people are there that God is, you know, working in their hearts. And all they need to see is the glory. All they need to see is somebody arise who is a true type of what Christ represents. That's been the problem. That's been the issue. And I believe God is going to do that in this day and this hour we're in. You will see Christ on the earth and say, hey, I see so bad. No, kuliribayi. You know, that thing is amazing. I used to wonder that thing myself too. This is when I was a young Christian, very young, baby. And thank God, you know, I read all these books and everything. And I said, Lord, okay. I know you're God. I know this, you know, all these, but sorry, Lord, is this all? You just read books, you go to prayer, and you go back home, and that's it? From a very young Christian, I was wondering, I said, this can't be all there is to it. You know, read all the Kenneth Hagin books, read all these books, you hear tapes. I said, is that all? God, there has to be something else. It can't just be all. And, you know, there is more. There's a million years. But, you know, as a young Christian, I used to ask, and how much more? A person who has been in the church for years and years, and you're doing the same old thing and you're expecting a different result. That's the definition of insanity. Doing the same thing. Hey, come on. You're going the way of destruction. And you know it. You can see it. You've looked at the end point. You see people who have gone before you. And you see what has happened to them. All they have maybe is a little bit more money than you. But they don't have peace. They don't have rest. No righteousness. Thank you. They're doing things which when you hear, your ear curds. There's Oshikini. Pastors. Men of God, so-called. And you are still under their covering. You better start crying. Says, come out from among them. They be not partaker of their sins. Amen. So is it. Bread. Bread is the word. Yeah. Judgment, faith, and mercy. Okay, so like I said, there's a window of opportunity now. God is not willing any should perish. The bridegroom is coming for all those Christians who, both wise and who are hitherto foolish, who now want to make a repentance and begin to walk in that path, that narrow, straight way that leads to life. God is calling all of us today. Amen. As I said earlier, and I'll just repeat that, foolishness and wisdom are dynamic. Hello, what does that mean? That means a foolish virgin today can be a wise virgin tomorrow. That's why I say those that are ready. They went to buy so they could be ready. Some of them made it. That's what it means. Because when they went in, there was no distinction. They were all ready. One didn't say one. God gives time. God gives space for you to repent. So there's a window of opportunity that all of us can exploit. Even us. Hello, somebody. Everybody say, that's not me. Cannot be me. How do you know? Hello? Even a saint in a place like scripture passed, you could be one of those going to the path of destruction. You will not be destroyed in Jesus' name. What I'm saying is that, except you, that's what we said at the beginning, you know, you examine yourself. You take heed to yourself. Take heed to the doctrine. It says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Don't assume. Are you doing the things that we've been instructed to do? Are you putting that word in your mouth, in your heart? Are you doing it? Pastor David was preaching the other day. You know, about God coming to purify. Pastor was preaching about standing in this evil day. Having done all to stand therefore. Everybody's just silent. And I'm talking to myself too. Every one of us. We need to do this constantly. Don't assume because you're here. Folks, let me tell you something. Hello, somebody. Israel did not think that they were not walking in the right place. They all thought they were doing good. We be Abraham's seed. We are not born of fornication. Nobody said you were. But you have a father to do. I'm not speaking to you. Maybe I am. But the essence, they didn't think there was anything wrong with them. So when the Lord Jesus started preaching against them and speaking the truth to them, they said, who's this man? How has he learned letters? We are Abraham's seed. And Jesus said, thank God for it. God is great. He says, there are many things I have to tell you, but I'm not going to say them to you now. But when he was about to go to be offered up on the cross, he gave them a whole chapter full. A whole chapter full of woe unto you, Pharisees and scribes. He said everything, his hand and his heart went, yes. Now I've unloaded on him. But you know, they didn't accept. They did not accept. And the church we are in today is doing exactly the same thing. And God is, I've said before you, life. Choose life, that you and your seed may live. And in that life, mine. Pastor Louis' doctrine. Hello, somebody. Haven't you heard that before? It's OJ, OJ, life. Jesus said, I have life. That's OJ now. That is not OJ. That is That is God. That is from way back. All that happened, that he saw it before you. God opened his eyes to see, and he's walking and he's working it out. Difference. It's not his doctrine, it's God. So, we're trusting that none of us is going on that way to destruction. Amen? Make the right choices. Choose life. Your life is the totality of all the choices you've made. Amen? And that's also showed us the way we will stand when he appears. It says, love is the fulfillment of the law. Give me 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. We do the law by keeping the law of life and love. 1 John chapter 3, bringing to close. 22. It says, now, this is how we're going to do it. This is how we're going to stand. Pastor taught us, and I just review it, and then we'll close. And whatsoever we ask, let's read it, guys. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we are fine. because we bring our tithe and offering, and we sow to the man of God. It says, because we keep his commandments, and only that, we do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Hello, somebody. I said, you're an unprofitable servant if you're only doing the things you are commanded. So you must add the doing the things that are pleasing his sight. And what is pleasing his sight? It gives you the next verse. Verse 23. And this is his commandment, that we should what? Believe on the name of his son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave commandment. One is his commandment. The other one is the things that are pleasing in his sight. Hello? Why is love him? Because by love, men shall know you are my disciples. We have love one towards another. So he says, love the others as I have loved you. Not as you love yourself. You may not love yourself very much. There are people that don't love yourselves. Yes. I know. There's a people that don't love themselves at all. Hello? So by believing in the name of the Lord Jesus, we receive life. The Bible says in John 20:31, says, you know, that this is... That if we pray and believe in him, that we receive life. And then we come, Bible says we confess our sins. Rather, we say, Father, we confess our sins, receive life, clean with the blood. Then we say, Jesus, let me have life. And use that life to love as he gave commandment. Love as I have loved you. And so we put the word in our mouth, we release the power to do it. We put the word in our hearts, in our thoughts. As we release that power from our mouths, our hearts, our thoughts, direct the release of the power that we released by the spoken word. That spoken word could be a declaration, but most of the time it's prayer in the spirit. Because when you pray in the spirit, that's when you're speaking divine mysteries. You're speaking words in God's language to God. And you're speaking them out. And God is speaking for you, through you, as you pray in the spirit. So as you're speaking in tongues, the pastor was telling us, you're actually laying down the limitations or the scope of the prayer you're about to pray by the Spirit. So you're saying things in angels' language, in language of men and angels. You're speaking, directing where the power that you generate in that prayer is going to go through when you pray in tongues. And it's a wonderful system, because you mean you can't miss. As I said, we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh, help of thy vengeance, says he maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. I remember the day I got that. I said, Lord, this is, yeah, thank you. God, let me say, this is Konje. So as I prayed, sit down, I thank God for this house. I want to thank God for the pastors. They have taught us well. I can never forget my first, 86, I got born again. I started working in 87, early 87. And I was working in Ijebu as a sales manager for Honeywell. And I went all over Nigeria. But you know what I was doing all the time? Even when I was going to work, it took about 45 minutes to get to work. I'd leave from about two, three days a week and come back 2-3 days a week. Because I didn't marry initially, but initially, after a while I got married, and my wife was in Ibadan. I said, you're not going to stay in Ijebu. I said, okay, Mumbonde. So I had a car all the way from Ibadan to Ijebu and back. I'll be praying tongues. I didn't know Pastor just said, you know, you build yourself up. We didn't know it was keeping ourselves in the love of God. I didn't know that. I just said, just pray in tongues as often as you can. Yeah. Say, I pray in tongues. And, oh, shakaraka. 45 minutes. There was one day I went to, I think it was Benin. I prayed throughout. From Ibadan to Benin. Sorry, from Jebu to Benin. And it was like that for years. Everywhere we got. I remember when me and Sam Badaki went to Jos. Tongues. Then it was, I won't say it was a novelty, but it was like, wow. Let's see how much of you can pray. You know, when you're a young child, you desire, you want to see about how far can we go. So you pray one night, and you keep praying. But you know, I was following after, because I can still remember the day, I think I shared this once before, when Pastor Ruby and I, then those days, I used to drive him up, you know, up around a bit, quite a bit. So went to, I think it was Kano. Yes, went to Kano. It was shows, yeah, Kano. And we came back to Ibadan one day. And was it Kano? I think it was Kano or Kaduna, I'm not sure. But anyway, from the day, the moment we entered that Brown Benz, until we came to Ibadan, this church was over there then. Pastor prayed throughout. All he did was say, buy petrol, buy water. That's what he said. And you won't believe this, but it's true. As we came in, we entered a 5-day fast. That's how it was in those days. So when... thank you. When I say straight and narrow, it has been straight and narrow, and I love it. And you do too. That's what built you up. You can't get all this going everywhere, you know, being every, going everywhere, you know, don't be a goat. You're not a goat in Jesus' name. I'm going to feed in everywhere. Stay where God put you. Not mean anywhere else. That's what built you up. Because you saw whether, Pastor God prayed for 14 hours. 14 hours. Any gone? By the grace of God. So here we are today. I want to recommend the straight and narrow to every single one. There's nothing like it. Amen. So that's it. And so we pray using the word, put the word in our minds, in our mouths, in our hearts, and we do it. And this is what gives us strength to do God's will. We do this every day. And then we also pray, Pastor told us, we also pray at least 4 times every day, every 6 hours. And like he taught us from the prophetic word about Elijah's arrows. And we should do it no less than 5 or 6 times a day. And at every opportunity. Now we know every opportunity in every temptation with our faults. So you're praying constantly. You're constantly releasing that power. You're constantly being in contact with the Holy Spirit. I want to thank God because I've noticed, I've seen, that if you do this thing, that heart, mouth, and do thing, you're going to be in peace throughout the day. Everything will just be arranged. Get up in the morning, pray your fourth watch prayer, pray, travail. If you can't, you know, covering will be there. But as much as possible throughout the day, keep speaking that word. Keep that word in your heart. Keep that word in your mouth. And you'll just find ordinary doing it. And the one that you don't do, God will work it out in your circumstance. It's a wonderful life, folks. It's a beautiful life. I can't imagine what that day, place of destruction, I just can't imagine what it must be that they don't know who God really is. Because there's nothing that beats it. You're in communion with God, you can hear God. When I can't hear God, I know there's a problem. When there's darkness, you know how it is sometimes when you miss God and then, you know, you can't hear anything. God has been faithful to us. The Bible says in 1 Peter, beginning to close, 2 Peter, says, God has given us by exceeding great and precious promises, all things, nothing left out, all things that pertain unto, give me that scripture. Thank you. There's it. Whereby I give, thank you, Bimbo. Oh, Sister Shala. Whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. I can never forget the day Pastor preached this. I said, what? So, you know what that means? That means that what is God comes into you. What is God? The very essence that makes God God is given to you. You have it in your spirit. You can have it in your spirit in small measure. You have it in great. It's your choice. Why would I go for small when great is there and when abundance is there? For heaven's sake, what could be more, important? That by this you might be partakers of the divine nature. Zoe. See, I've set before you this day life. Choose life. And thou and thy seed, and thy seed, seed, and thy seed, 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 may live. Now, this is God. God is so gracious. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Next verse. And beside, this is where the problem lies. This is where the problem. And beside all this, giving all diligence. Not some, all diligence. The diligence is the problem. That's why they go the easy way. Because you see, discipleship is diligence. You can't get away from diligence. Without diligence, you won't be a disciple. Because that's what it does. It disciplines you. You can't do what you want. You can't behave the way you want. You can't do what you want when you want. Hello, somebody. When they say fast, I say tomorrow. You come on Tuesday. I know none of you do this anyway, but I'm just using it as an example. You come on Tuesday, and just before the prayers at 6 o'clock, you just quickly step into someone, just quickly to sustain you throughout the prayer. Because prayer, my bono go. Why do you pray loud? Of course, some of you did it. No, you don't do that. You've never done that. Pastor Duye, I remember my first 24-hour fast. I thought I was going to die. I literally died. 24, no food for 24 hours. Ha! How do you do that? American boy. 3 squares, isn't it, man? Snack. Cornstarch, 3 squares. Snacks doesn't mean the squares must be there. And snack is in between. I said, me, 24 hours? I said, no, I can't do that. It's not possible. Ah! The first time I tried it, 3 o'clock. He's not a human being. Human beings don't do the things like this. Then God got on my case. I felt bad, you know, but I said, okay, all right, try. But that's how it starts, you see. You start from somewhere. You can do it. You can walk that tight walk. God has given grace. All you got to do is to make up your mind and God will back it. First 24 hours. Well, the day I did 24 hours, I told everybody, I said, if I haven't eaten, this is the 26th hour. I have not eaten. Onka, 24, 24.1, 26. Then I ate. I felt good. I said, 3 days, Jimbo. Then pastor announced we're going to have a 3 day. I said, what? It was in Bodija. I'm sure mommy remember. Bodija. That was 3 day fast. Ah. What are we going to be doing for 3 days? Oh boy. I died those 3 days. I told you, I died. I must confess, the first 3 days I wasn't successful at all. By 24, you know, I was left this made to 24. By 24, we'll take it from there tomorrow. Then I went. I saw. I think it was Chi. I can't remember. What was it? I said, "How are you doing? How are you?" She said, "She's fasting." I said, "Me, you haven't broken your fast." I said, "No." She's going to do 3 days. I said, "You this skinny." I mean, I didn't say that, but I said, you will do 3 days. You just collapse. Oh boy, she didn't collapse. Oh. I said, so you can do it. What am I saying? Folks, you can do it. That walk, that tight walk is it. You can do it by the mercy and the grace of God. It's not you. It's God that will do it for you. Through you. Yes, it's grace. It says, I labor, yet not I, but the grace of God. You can do it. You can do it. If I can do, you can do it. Huh? I'm telling you the truth. I'm nothing special. I mean, I've always had a, you can tell, I always had a problem with food. But God is having mercy. And God will have mercy on you too. Amen. So this is it, folks. God has given us all things that pertain to life and God, but the thing we must give diligence. It says by walking, giving all due at your faith, virtue. Let me finish with this. At your faith, virtue, virtue to knowledge. Next verse, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience. Patience, godliness, godliness. Next verse, to godliness, brotherly love, to brotherly kindness, charity. The end of the faith is love out of a pure heart and faith. All right? Now, for if these things be you and abound, they make you that shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse. But he that lacks these things is blind, cannot see afar, and has forgotten, he has purged from his old sins. Next verse. Wherefore, he says it again. This is the key. This is the key to that straight and narrow. Wherefore, the rather, bring out diligence means don't allow yourself too much room to get out of whack. Don't allow things to crescendo before you come back. Once you see yourself moving to right or moving to left, correct yourself. Hello? Do you understand what I'm saying? Once you see your strain, keep bringing yourself back. Because it will happen. You know, we all have, our infirmities are still being worked upon. But when you see that thing happening, you wake up late today, tomorrow, determine not to wake up late. Get up early. In fact, get up earlier. So that you tell me, I'm on the game. I'm on the ball. And gradually, over time, God will develop you. And you begin to do the things without even, you know, stressing yourself. Amen? I'm still waiting for that day when one day I was just like pastor. You pastor, you just ping. He doesn't use alarm. He's ingrained. He's there. Just opens his eyes and he's ready to go. Amen. We'll get there. Because if the first fruits be holy, the lamp will also be holy. Amen. Give it diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do, that's the problem. That's why it says, heart, mouth, heart, do. It says, not the hearers alone are blessed, but the doers. If you do these things, you shall never, and the scripture cannot be broken. You shall never fall. Next verse is where I'm going to close. So, an entrance, that's the gate. It's open. The gate to an entrance, the gate shall be ministered open unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The gate is open because you do these things. Mouth, heart, do diligently. May the Lord give us all understanding. Amen. And so there's a window of opportunity. Don't allow us to be distracted by the multitude. There's a window of opportunity for all those who have been privileged to hear this word first. Like you and I. Every one of us, we heard the first word first. And in this day, like you said, we didn't read it, but it's there. It says, I think we read it. They are first that shall be last, and they are last that shall be first. You will not be last in Jesus' name. You will be first and you remain first. Because you will give all diligence to put the word of God in, and you walk that narrow, straight, narrow way that leads to life, leads to kingdom glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your ways, O Lord. My God, and I will I'm forehead, because that's where the mind, will, and emotions is. That's where we need to make the adjustments so that we will no more think of ourselves unable to do this. Then we raise our head up unto the Lord, and the Lord will infuse our minds with His light, revelation, with the wisdom of God concerning how to do this, walking in the tight, straight way without faltering. And even if you fall, the Bible says a just man falls 7 times, but the Lord sustains him, raising him up with His hand. So don't fear. Raise a hand to the Lord and put a hand upon your head, upon your forehead. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight and has come to show me the way that leads to life and the kingdom and the glory is a straight path and a narrow way, and that only few find it. But I also understand, as you have shown me today, that Lord, there is now a window of opportunity, and it exists for all those who still desire to follow after you in the way. This way of a straight and narrow path that leads to abundant life and leads to the glory. I thank you for your love and for your mercy in showing me this today. And so I come to ask for myself mercy to be faithful, grace to do all of your will. Not I, but your grace that will labor with me. So that in this time, in this straight and narrow way that leads to life, I will be found in this place in the time of your appearing in the name of Jesus. So help me, Lord, to continue to put the word of God in my mouth, in my heart, and to do it faithfully and diligently, obeying the commandment of life and love, using the exceeding great and precious promises that give us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So making my calling and my election as a person who will obtain and who obtains the glory and who dwells in your kingdom sure. Thank you, Lord, for my inheritance that you have reserved for me by the Spirit, causing me now, as I walk in this day, in this way of life, to apprehend the fullness of the Spirit without measure. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Ramba bonome, ramba bon bakara go look at ya, bembele bilomakanda, bembele salamo makasonta nkai sobre mala, rembele amalonza, rembele amal sambare bilom para baka sonkali, ha tere no na maya kaza, father ne maya malako, father ne mon sente de bandalo malaka beke dar kanne bila mare, mare mare esa, mare mare solo manga baleko, solo iseka, rose be amolgoda, rembe sera sokutum pare de shontorbi. In Jesus' name, amen. Father,